Welcome to our study of the Book of Colossians here on the Radio Bible Course. We invite you to open your Bible to Colossians chapter 1, where Paul has been giving thanks because the Colossian Christians had faith in Jesus Christ, and they had love for other Christians, and they had hope for the coming of Jesus Christ. And he writes, "Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, so among yourselves, from the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. What was a fact then is true today, for in all places throughout the world, the gospel is bearing fruit." Why does Paul use the word fruit? Fruit is what comes out of something alive. A tree or a seed brings forth fruit. A baby is the fruit of its mother. My writing pen can make marks, but it must be manipulated by a hand. By itself, it can do nothing. It cannot bear another pen. It has no life. But the gospel has both power and life, and can bear fruit, and it does. People are being made alive spiritually by the gospel, whether it's preached, whether it's sung, or silently read by one's eyes. The latter occasionally happens. I know one woman who told me that she was bored by the sermon in church, so she opened her Bible and began reading. And God's Word came alive, and she believed in Jesus Christ and received eternal life, and no one knew it, but she did. The gospel is the power of God to everyone who believes. Now, what does this mean to us by way of a practical application? No one can become a Christian apart from the gospel. So we need to get the gospel before people in some way. And I'm happy that we have people who support this program so we can explain the gospel. Now, we try not to tell people what to do. We try to teach God's Word so God, through His Word, can teach you what you ought to do. But we do want to make the gospel clear, because we know that many people will never have hope of eternal life unless they understand this gospel, and that means defining words, basic words like grace and faith and what it means to believe. That's all so important. You see, the gospel is like a seed. And I'm not being original when I say that, because Jesus himself talked about sowing seed, and he said the seed was the word of God. Some falls on good soil, some on poor, and some here and some there. And it produces fruit. Yes, the gospel is the word of God, and it needs to be sown. But oftentimes, after it is sown, nothing happens until another person comes along and waters it to start the germination process. But keep this in mind. Inherent in the gospel is its own ability to produce spiritual life. Now, this explains why I don't shout, pound the lectern, beg people, or even try to frighten our listeners. I instead have faith in Jesus Christ, who said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Bible teachers who understand that and believe it do not spend their time trying to manipulate their audience in order to get decisions. Instead, they are content to teach the Word and wait for the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to make children of God. The New Testament teaches that life comes to us through the gospel, the word of truth. James wrote about it in chapter 1, verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth." And Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 4 of the first epistle, verse 15, and said, I have begotten you through the gospel. Peter added something to this same theme when he wrote in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of the Lord, which lives and abides forever. You see, the word is God's seed. A farmer who plants wants viable seed. He wants a high percentage of germination. Now, he doesn't, after he has sown the seed, need to clap his hands, stomp, or shout. He has faith in the God of creation, who made plants and made seeds. And he knows that the Creator, who set nature in motion, will bring forth fruit. Now we need to ask another question concerning verse 6. Can the gospel, the truth, bear fruit if it's not understood? Well, the gospel introduces the incredible grace of God. If it's not understood, a person can't believe. And if there's no believing, there will be no life. But notice what Paul writes at the end of verse 6. From the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Well, of course, they heard it, but they also understood it, and that's why they believed it. The word understand and know in the Authorized Version is a Greek word which means to fully know or perceive something. It also may suggest advanced knowledge or special appreciation. Now, this Greek word is epignosko. Don't turn your radio off. I'm not going to throw a lot of Greek at you. But listen to the word again. Epignosko. That means to fully know. Now, supposing a church member gave blood to you for a transfusion, and if you knew that, you would employ the word ginosko. That would mean that you had general knowledge that a church member had given his blood for your life. But if you knew the name of the donor, and you wanted to say, I know, then you would use epignosko. That would perceive something more fully. Now, Paul is saying to the Colossians that they not only heard the gospel, but became personally acquainted and have special appreciation for it because it brought them eternal life. Now we move on to verse 7, where Paul writes, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's talking about the gospel, of course. Who brought them the gospel? Epaphras. They learned it from him. He was the teacher of the Word of God. We know from history that there were many, many people who believed the gospel. But how many apostles were there? How many preachers were there? Well, there are only 12 apostles. One of them committed suicide, and he was replaced by another. And the apostles died, or they were martyred. But who preached the gospel then? Everyone who believed gossiped the gospel. That was a part of early Christianity, and it's the reason why Christianity spread so quickly throughout the known world. This was such good news that people would not hide it. They talked to others about it. And of course, there were many religious people then as there are today, but people who have great fears about dying, and people who are concerned about judgment. But the gospel was the remedy for that. It took away fear, for it told about a loving God who sent his Son, who was willing to love also so much that he sacrificed himself on their behalf. I like this expression in verse 7, as you learned it from Epaphras. I wish more people who read the Bible would learn from the Apostle Paul and take the Word of God and give it out as they learned it from the Apostle Paul. For some reason, people think they need to hear the Word and then reinterpret it to people. No, give it out as Paul did. Give it out as the Holy Spirit inspired men to write it. When Epaphras explained the gospel to these Colossians, he told them what God had done, not what they needed to do. For nothing more needs to be done. If you explain the gospel fully, you will explain that God sent Jesus Christ and he did everything necessary to rescue every person in the world from sin, and nothing else needs to be done. A full presentation of the gospel announces the complete sacrificial payment of Jesus Christ and no more payment is needed. Now that's good news, and unless we are telling people that, they'll always think they have to do something also. I recall those days years ago when I was a graduate student at the university and asked these questions to students. Why did Jesus come into the world? And they would answer, knowing it from their catechism, to save us from our sins. And then I said, did he succeed or fail? And they didn't know how to answer that. They certainly didn't ever want to say that Jesus failed in anything, and yet they saw the implications of what I was asking. If they answered that he succeeded, they might be saying too much, but they went with that answer and said, yes, he succeeded. And my next question was, well, if he came to save us from our sins and he succeeded, are you saved from your sins? And I got this answer, oh, it can't be that easy. We have to do something also. They said that because they didn't understand the grace of God, and most people don't understand the grace of God. They need Bible teaching that explains the meanings of words and fully explains what this gospel means. If after Jesus Christ died to rescue us for our sins, if after that there is something that we need to do, exactly what is it? What is it that God has specified that we must do in order to get eternal life? I can give you the biblical answer. It's nothing more than believe in Him completely. That is faith. If you are believing in Christ and believing in something else that you might do, then you are not believing biblically. You don't have the faith that the Bible says will save, for it must be faith alone in Christ alone. The Bible tells us that salvation is a gift of God. It's free. But many people don't know how to get that free gift. We've written a booklet entitled Heaven's Password. It will explain how you can get eternal life as a free gift. Write today for your free copy of Heaven's Password. It's free. Until next week, this is Nick Calabota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.